Give me a sound check one more time.
D4 bad. Did I do it perfect. Right?
Wow. You know how to get the chat active, okay? So Dumbo Man, first of all, apparently Twitch does not like the word dumb because I could not put your name in the description. I could not put it in the title of the stream. I couldn't put it in the little message that goes out to people when I go live because your name is inappropriate. How do you feel about that?
You know, honestly, I don't know how to feel about it. I never thought of it as a like pejorative, so I don't. I mean, I guess it is, but yeah, I don't know. I guess I didn't really think through the Twitch angle.
You even tried Disney to get around contact me with the zero instead of the O. You know?
Yeah, I wish I had a better. I don't know. I sort of started making content as an accident, so it wasn't I didn't have like a grand plan or, you know, something well thought out before I started doing it.
What was this, a nickname of your friends? Were you called like Fearless Dumbo, like after the cartoon? Were you just, you know, absolutely brave in all facets of life and you did crazy things like jumping off buildings, trying to fly stuff? Like why Fearless Dumbo? What's going on?
It was just like like a long, long time ago, it was just like a group of friends. It's not me in particular. We just sort of like we just acted dumb sometimes, and so it just sort of grew into that.
So it's a group.
I don't know. I wish I had a better story for you, but I don't have like a really specific one.
Dude, there's no need. That's cool. That's cool, man. Okay, so I had to ask about the name. Now, for what people are really rabid about, okay. We'll talk about general thoughts about the game in a moment, but I know what is on everybody's minds is what the hell is happening in this upcoming Path of Exile 2 patch. Dumbo, dude, what are your like top level predictions here? What do you think's coming in Dawn of the Hunt?
Yeah, good question. I hope a new league mechanic. And I for those who are like new to Path of Exile, like Path of Exile 2 is your first experience with it. I mean, that's what really gets me going for new leagues is something different to try out. So I hope it's a new league mechanic and they're not just like, hey, we expanded the end game. It seems like, you know, they named it, right? Like that should be, should be something to come with that. I don't know. I hope there's a massive rebalance because it's kind of it's in a really weird place right now. It feels like they're going to hopefully meet somewhere in the middle. Like we're in this, like have and have nots build situation where you're either super zoomy or you're, you know, stuck in molasses and not really moving very fast, and that kind of feels but terrible.
I think that's the most enticing thing to me is them just going really heavy-handed with the balance since they stopped balancing skills around 3 weeks into early access with that cock and cast on freeze nerf. What do you yeah, that was a time, wasn't it? You've specialized in mercenary and particularly crossbow builds. If anybody hasn't checked out Dumbo's channel and you're even remotely interested, not even in playing these builds, but just seeing how they function and what the limits of them are, highly recommend checking out Dumbo's channel. It's going to be in the description of this video. We'll shout it out in the stream as well. But could you just run people through, like, maybe before we talk about the rebalance or what they could use, just the journey you went on starting with mercenary and crossbows and just trying to make them work in PoE 2?
I mean, mercenary looked interesting to me because it was something different, right? Like it wasn't Deadeye again, and I wanted to do something different, something that I hadn't, you know, I've played everything you could probably play in PoE 1, so I just wanted something different, and crossbows were again like something different. And you know, there are the way that Jonathan described it, it seemed like they put a lot of focus and emphasis on the crossbow, particularly when they were doing the reveals, like the early reveals. So, you know, like instant fire, some of the mechanics are different, you know, like reload being sort of a new thing. I don't know. It just looked like a sort of a blank canvas that you could, you know, go explore and paint something different than, you know, PoE 1 had. And that was really why I wanted to do it. I mean, and grenades look sweet, right? Like, so
they did.
Yeah. And they were, you know, they did you know, cluster grenade looked a lot like explosive trap, which is, you know, my favorite skill in PoE 1. Mm-hmm. And so it just all sort of like everything lined up for me to give mercenary and crossbows a try.
Yeah, definitely different. They looked different. They were hyped up quite a bit. in action. How was that first week for you playing in early access? If you can remember all the way back then, what, three months now?
Forever ago. Honestly, it was great. I really enjoyed it. It, you know, having playing the campaign for the first time is, you know, like you've gone through the PoE 1 campaign so many times that it's not memorable anymore. So that first time is going to be memorable for whatever it was. Like if it was brutally hard, or if it was, I don't know. The first time was really great, and I think the campaign is the thing that they really nailed in PoE 2. You know, if you weren't using something that was objectively broken, like scaling wise, you know, and you actually had to interact with the campaign bosses, you know, that was really great, I thought. So my experience was pretty good. And a lot of it was exploring, and, you know, you get to see the skills for the first time, and you had really no clue about putting things together. So a lot of it is experimenting, trying to figure out what works, what didn't work. You know, learning from what other people were doing. It was pretty great. It's something that will be very difficult to replicate, because now, you know, acts 1 through 3, everybody, you know, people are speed farming, or not speed farming, but racing now. So it's not going to be a new thing anymore, but yeah.
And after that act experience, which I totally agree, it was a magical time. And I think a lot of us laughed at, was it Fextra Life? I think came out a week before and was like, man, I spent 40 hours on the campaign, and we were like, ha, you scrub, who does that? And then I spent 35 hours on the campaign. I took it all in. It was really cool, and a lot of it was exactly that. It wasn't necessarily that, you know, the content was super difficult or anything. It was just that it was our first time touching all of it, our first time exploring our characters. And a lot of us just wanted to enjoy that in the moment. And we took it to its fullest. It was like the golden age of Path of Exile 2. Nothing was solved, really. And it was beautiful. Really fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I play with a friend, like, or at least there are a couple of us that usually like voice chat through the campaign every league. And group play was busted in PoE 2 right when you started. Like a bunch of weird things were happening. Okay. At one point, we had like 9 people in our group. Just all sorts of janky things were happening. it was, you know, we had this agreement, this sort of handshake agreement before we started, that, like, hey, look, we're not going to, this isn't about getting to maps in 4 hours or whatever. This is, you know, like about enjoying the first experience.
Oh, lovely. Does that mean the first time that you fought like Geonor, were you doing it in a group, or was it 1v1?
No. Yeah, it was all 1v1. We all soloed the campaign.
Oh, okay. You're just sitting in voice chat, chilling, chatting.
Yeah,
and everything.
Just like, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, dude. Okay, you've been doing that in Path of Exile 1 for quite a while. Then you said you all play together.
Yeah. Basically every league. Yeah.
So envious, man. I have been missing out for years. All of my friends refused to play PoE 1 for, you know, the past 6 years I've been playing. They all jumped on board with PoE 2. What
nice,
just how wonderful, dude, just sitting in Discord and, like, you know, mapping and screen sharing when you're fighting bosses for the first, like, we were streaming our Arbiter fights to each other. Nice. Magical, man. I mean, it sounds stupid, but that is one of the big reasons why I really have enjoyed PoE 2, because I finally got to, like, share an experience with all my IRL friends who I used to game with all the time, and I've completely lost that having kids. And then moving away to, like, you know, I'm in the Midwest. My friend moved to the Pacific Northwest and everything. And we just don't see each other anymore. And we finally reconnected via this. And it's just nice. So,
yeah, actually, one of my friends got me into PoE. It wasn't something I found myself. So,
oh, really? How long ago did you start playing Path of Exile? Just really quick side tangent.
I think my first official league was Delirium.
Really? Okay. So you started around the same time as Dream Corps. Dang.
Yeah, but I went like pretty big. I've gone pretty big. I'm well into the, like, you know, 5-digit hours at this point.
Oh yeah, it was a fun time. That's right around when I started too, dude. Was it like, oh, we're all caught inside because of, I won't say it in case YouTube wants to be mean about my video. Is that the reason, or was it just like, hey, there's this cool game I play?
You know, I've always been into the genre. You know, I played Diablo 2 a long time ago. I mean, I've played Most of the, you know, Wolsen, I played a ton of the ARPG space, D3, D4. So it's right in my wheelhouse. It's a game that I, game archetype that I love.
Yeah.
I don't know why I didn't come earlier. I think my friend had, it took some convincing. I think he was sort of pushing me for a while, and then finally I was like, all right, let's do it.
Was he worried that since you have a family that if he, you know, if he exposed this to you and you started playing, it would all be over?
No, not at all. Actually, that wasn't a concern at all. It was more like there were just other things going on. Like we played a lot of, I don't know. We played a ton of different games, and it just sort of things would just come on and off and rotate in and out. And then when PoE rotated in, it just never rotated out.
Okay, that was my next question. I know we're on a tangent from the Mercenary, but when Path of Exile rotated in, did you stop playing other games, or is that still happening?
No, that's a good question. I tend to play aggressive, like a lot the first few weeks, and then things sort of taper off. Usually my, like at least with Path of Exile 1, right, like my goal is to execute really well the first week. And then I also started making videos, which takes away from that some, but like I want to do well enough in the first week that I have enough currency that I can then just explore and do something weird or make something janky or just try something, you know, out of the box with whatever the new mechanics are. It's like 3 or 4 weeks, and then I go do something else usually for a while.
Yeah. I'm the same exact way with the challenges. I like blast those first 2 to 3 weeks, and I cheese challenges. I do, you know, 80% of the challenges myself, but then I'll cheese some, you know, via the Discord server that shall not be named. And then I peace out for a while, which is why I was fascinated with Path of Exile 2. I have only in the past, I think, week really stopped playing it. And that's like 3 months of me actually playing it consistently week after week, night after night, trying out different things and really trying to make like my monk work myself without looking at any build guides. I've stayed a virgin from build guides so far. So for things I play, I watched your mercenary stuff because I was fascinated because my brother-in-law is playing the mercenary. And he's complaining about, you know, trying desperately to scale this in the end game. And I think he's doing like plasma gun or laser or whatever. And I was like, sure. Well, I've got this guy, this my friend who's like specializing in merc stuff. Why don't you watch it? And he's like, well, I don't want to watch it. So I was like, all right, well, I'm gonna watch the videos, and then I'm gonna slyly suggest things to him in conversation to try to help him with his build. Because he'll listen to me. So after that first week of enjoying the campaign and everything, how did that end game progression of the merc feel? Like, which skills ended up feeling the best? Are grenades as sucky as everybody says they are? What's the skinny on the merc in PoE 2 as it stands in point one?
Sure. Yeah. So my take on it was that I played gas grenades all the way through like the first and second tiers of pinnacle bosses. So they actually scaled great through campaign and all the way through the late maps. But like pushing it harder than that, you needed things like Temporalis, which is like not, you know, there's no bridge to Temporalis. You just like have to have a, you know. I actually tried almost all of the, like, it gave a really honest try to almost all of the crossbow skills. And, like, by far the one that scaled the best were shock burst rounds. And I think everybody sort of came to that conclusion. Like, that's not a surprise or anything. Mm-hmm. But a lot of other things had mechanical issues. So, like, rapid shot was great. But, you know, there were server frame attack speed limitations that made it really bad. Like, and you get so much attack speed with it that you're hitting the, you know, the caps with, you know, almost no investment. So I really wanted to love that skill, but it was just didn't scale very well in the end game.
Interesting.
Yeah, grenades I thought were great through campaign. In fact, my second merc playthrough, I leveled as, you know, I used gas grenades all the way to like level 85 or something like that.
Oh, okay. Well, that's really curious. With the rapid shot, actually interesting. So same dude, same brother-in-law. My pleas with him to use shock burst rounds did not work, Dumbo, unfortunately. But he did see someone else's video, which I forwarded him, of a ranger, the Pathfinder, using Rapid Shot. I can't remember the content creator's name right now, but they were featured in Build of the Week or Build Showcase for a different build. This is okay. Like a Rapid Shot, a Rapid Fire build using the Pathfinder with the no movement speed penalties and everything. And it looks pretty fun, but it, like you said, scaling it actually into late end game is kind of crap. You just can't scale that ability. Do you think that's good design from Grinding Gear Games, that there are these abilities due to the way they're crafted? They just cannot be scaled nearly as well as something like Shock Burst Rounds or Ice Strike or any of these other abilities. Or do you think there's room in the game for these skills that have a finite ceiling and might just work with like low investment for a time when you're progressing your character?
You know, I mean, it certainly could work. There's nothing mechanically preventing Rapid Shot from being a good skill, right? The if you have high enough, well, let me back up. So there are some, it seems to me now, like, so I'm a software engineer, and I hate when people say, oh, it should be easy to do whatever. So I'm going to preface this with that. But they've demonstrated that they're able to like collapse, you know, multiple, you know, like multi-strike in PoE1, right? Like you can perform an action that hits in a single server frame and have it execute multiple actions. So it seems like you should be able to construct a skill like Rapid Shot in such a way that you can, you know, get really high APS out of it without bricking the build because it's too fast. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a really satisfying archetype, you know, like having something that just absolutely rips ammunition is, I think, very compelling, right? Like from a gameplay and mechanical perspective, I think it's really interesting. So making that work, I think, would be, you know, if they don't make it work, rather, that seems like a miss on their part. And yeah, I mean, you're right. Like if the parts of the reason, or part of the reason that Shock Burst Rounds work so well is because it was a payoff skill, right? Like where the enemy needed to be shocked. But you kind of trivialize that aspect of it, so you got all the payoff stuff for free. And you couldn't do that in a similar way with some of the other crossbow skills.
All right. On that, I'm really curious to hear your take on this, dude. So on the trivialization of these trigger abilities, you know, Shock Burst Rounds with the enemy needed to be shocked. That's one good example. Another, that it's an okay example, I think you'll get what I mean, is the whole resonance charge, power charge generation with the monk, where you basically always have power charges, right? Passively.
Right.
Is it Combat Frenzy? I think it's Combat Frenzy in that whole interaction. Do you think that Grinding Gear Games is going to gut the hell out of these auto ways to trigger these super powerful abilities that I don't think they intended you to always have, you know, infinite power charges or infinitely shock? Or do you think that's purely intended from them and they expected players to do that?
And that's a really good question. I'm curious. You know, my take on it in general is that they had a sort of shell of the game. And what I constantly have to remind myself is that it was early access and this wasn't the full game. And so they kind of get a pass for some things there.
Yeah.
And they said like 6 months before the game, like we had to figure out the end game. And so I think a lot of those sort of pieces are there and they want them to work in a way where you have to combine skills and just getting automatic permanent charges is kind of scuffing that. Or same thing, like you can get so much duration on a shock that it, you know, sort of obviates the need to do two things. You just do one and then you just blast for the rest of the, you know, boss's lifetime or whatever.
Right.
To be honest, though, I think it's going to be really difficult for them to completely void all methods of getting permanent uptime for things. It's just, you know, if you have some way to do it and you give us hundreds of ways to execute certain things, there's just going to be loopholes. There's going to be ways that you could, you know, I don't know, do something wacky with a, you know, movement skill or something. And, you know, I don't know what exactly, but it just feels like it would be really difficult to fully move that. And so people are going to be looking for that, right? Like, everybody recognizes, I think, that a lot of the, you know, getting a permanent payoff on a skill is, you know, what solves the damage for some things.
Yeah.
I think they want it. I think it's going to be hard to do.
Yeah. I think that's a good take. Kind of building off that or off this conversation, I'm curious. Oh, we'll start with crossbows slash grenades first, and then I want to hear overall if you have a take. What skill disappointed you the most when you first played with it? You thought it might have been powerful or cool, but it ended up not being what you were looking for. Is that in the game right now? And I hope you don't say cluster grenade. I feel like you might say cluster grenade for some reason.
You know, I kind of want to say that. problem with cluster grenades is that it's obviously, you know, it's like sort of a target for scaling because of the way it works. And like AoE shotgunning is such a powerful multiplier. I tried really hard to make that the thing that I did full time or most of the time or even single target, and it just didn't work nearly as well as
dang.
Most other things. And I think they were nervous or kind of felt like maybe they were nervous about the damage being too high, and so they just gave it a gigantic cooldown. And I don't know.
Maybe they'll change it in point two. I'm curious with the bad rap that the crossbow and grenades and just bolt stuff in general seem to kind of get. I'm wondering, is it a raw number thing? Is it a mechanical design thing? Maybe people just aren't used to how different the playstyle is. Does there need to be more options in the game to scale these skills? What do you think the source of the frustration from a vocal part of the player base really is? When some, like a select few, I've seen really enjoy these skills, but then a lot of people just seem to bounce off them for easier things like quarterstaff.
Spark.
Or Spark. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Spark.
Yeah, you know, I think that's a good question. So crossbows, because of the reload time, are sort of polarizing. I think it seems like from a design perspective, they wanted to, you know, it's a two-handed weapon. You don't get an offhand. It's got this reload downside. You know, it feels like they wanted to make something that has a little bit of built-in jank so that they could give it a lot of power, right? Like that's kind of their MO. That's how they do things in, you know, Path of Exile 1 generally. So anything that's like that, that's just not free, easy damage, you know, like Archmage Spark, which is kind of silly. you know, you're just a walking simulator. You know, comparing it to that is just going to be unfair, you know, to any skill. So the fact that you had to make that comparison is sort of, you know, a diss on GGG at the point. But I'll say that I really enjoyed crossbows, but I think that it's a type of thing. I'm the type of person that would like it because I don't mind mechanical jank. Like I adjust to it. Like you just change the way that you play. You know, I play, you know, traps a lot in PoE 1 and you adjust your play style. But once you're really comfortable with it, it's a non-issue.
Yeah.
And reload for crossbows, I think you can get around if you build in enough attack speed, but that's not something you can do until late in the game. And a lot of people were playing through the campaign and really were really frustrated with the slow reload times, or maybe they picked a really terrible base, right? Some of the bases just have god awful reload times and didn't know, right? Because nobody knows anything. We're all 4 hours into the game, and I picked this thing up off the ground because the physical number was really high, and you know, this feels terrible. I don't know why. I just don't like crossbows. So you know, I think that it's one, polarizing, and two, maybe better for late game scaling than just picking up things in the campaign.
Okay. Now I'm curious, do you think the decision to not have an offhand with crossbows was a bad one? We saw in 2023 when crossbows were first revealed, they did kind of have an offhand in the attachment mechanic. It was the quiver for crossbows. Do you think there's room to reintroduce that back to the game, wherein you have a crossbow and then you have basically your quiver called an attachment in your offhand that allows you to get this extra scaling that you have with bows? Or from your perspective and finicking with these crossbows for the past 3 months, do you think that there's enough power innately inside, one, the crossbow as a weapon, and two, the skills already?
I love the concept. I think it would be amazing to have an offhand that functioned with crossbows. I don't know how, honestly, I would love a bunch of uniques that sort of made the crossbow skills weird or different. You know, I don't want just, I think one of the things that PoE 2 suffers from is everything is percent increased damage, which is just not that interesting to me. I absolutely think there's room for that. And I think it would be amazing if they found some space, some design space to make the crossbows do different and interesting things with some sort of attachment.
Okay. Dual wield crossbows, yay or nay?
Ooh. I mean, I have to say yay, but I don't know. Like, what would the downside be? Like, how would that work exactly? It would just be like having
maybe extra reload time. I don't know. Like, because you got, I don't know. You're shooting both of them, but then you got to reload both of them, and you got to do all these crazy maneuvers with your hands, you know? So I don't know.
Gosh, yeah.
I think
cool. I'm not sure how it would work.
Right.
it would probably look awesome. I don't know how it would work mechanically.
I mean, like, Diablo's done it. I think, what is it, Demon Hunter in D3, where with the spinning in circles with the dual wield crossbows is pretty cool.
Like a Death Blossom type.
Yeah, dude. Oh, I'm loving it. Okay, last mercenary thing, I swear, and then we'll move on to some other topics. We know that the Merc is getting one new ascendancy in this upcoming we're 95% sure it's a mercenary ascendancy.
I was gonna say, are we 100% sure?
It's wielding a crossbow, right? What do you think this guy is? You got any hot takes coming in from the art that we've seen?
I wish I did. I really don't. I'm bad at hot takes on just eyeballing things. I think that, yeah, I don't know.
I'm wondering if it's gonna be like a, have you seen the summon, goodness gracious, the summon companion gem in PoE2DB? It's basically a gem form of an animate guardian that's a person that you summon.
Okay.
I'm wondering if it's not a gem, but it's going to be an ascendancy only skill where you're a mercenary and you've got like a buddy mercenary. So you're like buddy cops, you know, or buddy mercs, you know, and you get to build this single minion with the ascendancy tree in some way, right? Where all the different options, you know, or maybe a few of the paths are building up this companion, and maybe there's another path for the ascendancy that doesn't relate to the guy at all. But I'm wondering, because they're showing the two people in it, you know, they don't do that. If you look at all the other ascendancy stuff, they're single individuals. They are the ascendancy. They are explicitly showing a second character in this tease. So I think it has to be somehow related to this.
Oh, that's a really good observation. It feels weird summoning a person, though. Although I guess maybe what if it were a companion, right? Like, this whole thing is hunt related thematically. Yeah. What if we have like a, you know, a dire wolf or something that we summon to our side? And,
Oh,
what now? Or whatever. You know, it could be. Those are hunting companions.
Yeah, that'd be cool. That'd be awesome. I'm all for the single minion buff up. I'm not one for the horde style, but single minions, dude. Oh, yeah. Sign me up.
Yeah. As long as all the gear doesn't get deleted when they die.
True. I'm never going to do that in PoE 1, and I sure as heck am not going to do that in PoE 2. Now, before we return to some Path of Exile 2 discussion, since we just brought up Path of Exile 1 for just the briefest of moments there. Your return to Path of Exile 1 in Freesia. How has it been, dude? Have you enjoyed your time back? Has it been enlightening after playing so much Path of Exile 2?
I love it. I mean, honestly, the best thing they could have done is given us 19 new ascendancies. So, you know, I'm here for it. And, you know, I tend to be somebody who tinkers, right? So I'm like level, I've got three, you know, high 90s characters, and I'm just like, oh, what if I tried this? And what if I did that?
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm all about it. The idols made progression a bit slower.
Okay.
But, you know, honestly, having crafting again, like some crafting mechanics or combinators, it's like a different world from PoE 2 where you're sort of using wisdom scrolls to craft things.
Oh, yes. Yes. And, what do you mean? There's omens. Dumbo, what, you're not using you're not spending 100 divines to craft or try to craft one item?
You know, I think I used maybe six.
That's six. That's omens. A high number, bro.
that might be a high number too. I mean, well, it just, I don't know. I'm not sure. I know that they love chase items and, mm-hmm. and they like making certain aspects of crafting difficult, but man, they made crafting extraordinarily difficult in PoE 2.
Oh, dude, it's rough. We'll talk about that in a second. I'm curious on the Freesia ascendancies, Dumbo.
Yeah.
Our friend Dreamcore actually put out a video a few days ago talking about how they could integrate them into the core game. You know, either just lifting them, rebalancing them, and putting them all in the game at once, or maybe every league having a random assortment of these ascendancies, the base ascendancies and the Freesia ascendancies. Are you pro adding these to the core game, or do you think that they should just be tucked away in these private league modifiers where people can, you know, buy and host private leagues and play with these 19 new ascendancy classes forevermore?
No, I think it would be incredibly smart of them to make them part of the core game.
Yeah.
And I hope they do. I hope that's something that happens. I mean, it feels weird to, you know, play them this one time with an economy, and then after that, it's basically got to be this sort of group self-found thing or right. solo self-found only. I really hope that we get to play with them more. There's so many busted things that we just haven't seen yet because we just haven't had enough time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's only going to last another, I think, about a month, right? And then it's poof.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, give us Scavenger and let us, like, roll different uniques through there, or just pick one ascendancy per league and just give us all the Freesia ascendancies.
Oh, interesting. Then you'd see PoE and Ninja, you know, flock to that one class probably, you know.
Yeah, maybe. I think it's minimal. There was a lot of complaints, you know, from like 315 to like 320-ish that the meta was stale, you know, like there was so much complaining about Seismic Trap, right? Like I've played Seismic Trap again. Like if you give us new ascendancies, or at least a few new ascendancies, or big changes to them, you know, people will do it. And I appreciate the things that they have done, right? Like they reworked Trickster a while ago. They do rework them. I'm not saying that, but the breadth of rework that happened in Freesia over like a week was stunning. People like me who just like making builds, it's amazing. There's so many different things to try. I feel overwhelmed.
Infinite content. Seriously.
Yeah.
Especially the Scavenger. I played an Ancestral Commander to 80 in Hardcore, so I haven't explored really anything with these ascendancies. But just reading the nodes of the Scavenger, I was like, man, people are going to have an absolute field day with this. This is insane, all the possibilities you have with all the uniques you can now use with these special abilities that were only locked on this specific piece of body armor or this amulet. Like, what a fascinating idea. I love it.
Yeah, it was great. I thought it was really well executed too. I mean, it was smart of them to give us toys, right? Like there were some obvious things that were people were immediately excited about, right? Like giving Cloak of Flame to Scavenger was everybody's like, oh God, now I have, you know, Fizz mitigation solved. Now I can go make something that's not going to constantly, you know, doing whatever. I thought it was great.
Awesome. With the idols in Path of Exile 1, now I know that they explicitly said this wasn't a beta test for Path of Exile 2, right? They're not going to just lift idols and placement of Path of Exile 2. But if we had the idol system in PoE 1 that we just experienced in Freesia versus the current juicing via towers of Path of Exile 2 endgame, right, which would you prefer?
Well, I would greatly prefer the idols, to be frank.
Okay.
I don't know if that's a controversial take or not, but the amount of effort required to set up towers was extraordinary, right? Like it was often hours of like pathing around. You had to do a bunch of maps that you didn't like. You know, like how many times do you want to pull those damn levers? in Augury, right? So, one of the beautiful things about PoE 1 that they really nailed and got right, in my opinion, is the fact that you can target content and then play that content as much as you want. Mm-hmm. Like, if I really love Dunes, I can run Dunes a ton of times, and I can play Legion in Dunes because that's the type of content I like playing. And that sort of thing isn't possible in PoE 2. And I don't fully dislike the way that, you know, the ever expanding Atlas, but mm-hmm. it's really challenging in the current environment to play content that you want to. Right. You have to do, you know, I have to go run around giant augury, or, you know, five other maps to find the thing that I like doing. No, I personally like bossing, right? So I used to before 325, like I would level a character and then I would focus on bossing, and I wouldn't have to care that much about maps outside of just completing my atlas or pushing it enough that I had enough nodes that I could allocate on the atlas tree. And I would just boss like for the first 3 or 4 days. It was like my most favorite part of Path of Exile is opening weekend bossing. So I would do like services for people, or like, you know, just target farming, you know, Uber bosses for whatever thing, but you can't really do that in PoE2 at all.
I think the magic that you're describing that's missing, and what is shocked, I know, guys, I'm going to Path of Exile 1, but they built that awesome game. I gotta use it. They created one of the best games in terms of player agency ever. And then with Path of Exile 2 and this endgame they invented, yes, in about 6 or 7 months, they took almost all of it away. And I just, it is baffling to me how much randomness is inserted on how mechanics spawn onto maps and how you use towers to then try to spawn mechanics. And the only way to guarantee mechanics are to run the maps. You know, all this tedium, which I've never participated in. So I'm speaking, you know, out of my mouth, I've never participated, but I understand just how crappy it is, because I want to run all these cool things. I want to guarantee breaches in the maps I'm running, but I don't have the time to sit here and be like, yeah, I'm going to run all these maps to clear out the field and make sure I can path exactly to the breach, ritual, and delirium maps, right? It's frustrating to me. Like, and then with the Atlas trees, you're not guaranteeing anything to spawn into your maps. You're just buffing the things that have a chance to appear in your maps, a very low chance, and you don't really control that chance. I hate that. I don't want all these layers of randomness. I don't know if that's because they thought there wasn't enough content for people to like specialize into, or if they just intentionally wanted to just insert basically RNG gates between players and the juice, right? I don't know.
Yeah, it definitely felt bad the times I would work through a tower and then it would spawn all of the content that I wanted on the other side of the lake.
Yeah. Dude,
no chance. Citadels
on the other side of, you know, a narrow strait or a impassable desert, right, man?
Yeah. You know, I think if they... I remember Jonathan talking a little bit about you can target biomes and sort of mold the Atlas in ways that you want it. Like if they give us options so that I can run, you know, a bunch of savanna type maps over and over again, then, maybe that's good enough. But like the current state of things is not the best, not my favorite. So yeah, you're right. Like going back to your original question, like going back to PoE1 was, you know, after like 15 minutes of trying to remember how not to use WASD, like it was just felt like this is something I can do and feel good about and do the things that I want to do and not have to be forced to do things I don't want to do.
The number one thing, so I think this is above endgame. I think this is above maybe even new acts. I think the number one thing, only second to balance, is adding some layer of determinism to the game that's accessible by your average player. And let's not even say your average player. Your top 10% blaster. You know, I'm probably in the top 10% in terms of playtime. I played a hell of a lot. I'm sure you've played a hell of a lot. We were talking about how you used, what, 6 omens this entire time. What do you think they could add into the game in this 0.2 patch to add that level of determinism to item crafting to the game? So it doesn't become I need to get uber lucky. I need to chance my way into a crazy upgrade. Or I just need to resort to using the marketplace. If you agree with that, if you disagree with me on that, please, I'd love to debate it a little bit, but I just feel like that extra layer of crafting doesn't need to be uber complicated, but just something for players to latch onto, I feel like needs to come to the game. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, they definitely need something, and I think that they will, right? Like they were pretty open about, as we make more content, there'll be more methods to craft things. You know, I've thought about this a lot, and I think that the I'm not totally against the not being able to, you know, completely scour something and just start over. But if they gave us things like, you know, like you could imagine a world where recombinators exist in PoE 2 and, you know, you still exalt, or maybe there's another, there's a sync for exalts that, you know, would help balance the divine exalt ratio a little bit better. I think that they could do it. I don't know what the answer is. My hope would be something like if they just straight up lifted recombinators and put them in PoE 2, that would make me so happy.
Ooh.
You don't need, like, right, let's forget about annuls and let's forget about, you know, scours and chaos orbs and like re-rolling all your stuff, like, or chaos orbs in PoE 1 context. I know that the chaos orbs are in PoE 2, but like,
yeah,
like being able to completely reset an item, you know, without like massive investment. You know, I think that sounds pretty good to me, right? Like, if I could recombinate gear, we'd be in a good place.
Yeah.
Or a significantly better place.
Yeah, I think recombinators would be cool. I'm leaning in. I know we were talking about, you know, the theming of Dawn of the Hunt. Dude, what if they introduce bestiary and beast crafting? How about that? What are your thoughts on that?
I have a love-hate relationship with beast crafting. So I've done a lot of high, you know, effort crafts in Path Exile 1, and that generally involves a fair amount of beast crafting, and it can get really monotonous, and then you have to do a bunch of management of, you have like a certain number of yellow rare beasts that you can hold on to, and then periodically you have to either go farm some more or go buy them in bulk, or I love the power and some of the flavor that bestiary gives to PoE 1. I wouldn't be against it being in there, but like, I have this visceral reaction to, oh god damn it, there's, you know, like, I have to, if I want to make my like very nice end game item, I have to go live in the bestiary for, you know, an hour or 2 hours or however long.
Yeah.
But it's thematically appropriate, makes sense in that context.
Yeah.
And I think more is fine, you know, like give us something. Give us options. Options are what we want.
You said you wanted a new league mechanic at the start of our chat in almost an hour ago. Did you mean a new, like a league mechanic from Path of Exile 1 or something brand new to PoE 1 and PoE 2?
Oh, I hope it's new, entirely new.
You think?
You know,
no.
I mean, I think they're going to get, so if what ends up happening with 0.2 is they add in bestiary and then they add, you know, they throw in, you know, I don't know, like betrayal, like they just like lift two or three mechanics from PoE 1 and put it in PoE 2. I don't think a lot of people are going to be super thrilled. Like it needs to be something different.
Yeah.
At least from my view, you know, I'm not a game designer. It's not my expertise, but
ditto.
I would love something different. You know, that was what was exciting about PoE 2 to begin with. I can pick a mercenary. That doesn't exist in PoE 1. I can use crossbows. Like, mechanically, those are entirely new. You know, I just want something different. Something a little different flavor.
Yeah, so lifting mechanics from PoE 1 into PoE 2, here you go. I'm gonna be negative, guys. One of the disappointing things is that it was always pitched as, yeah, we're gonna reimagine these leagues in PoE 2. It's going to be, you know, an upgrade, right? And then I'd argue with Ritual, it's the exact same, basically. I mean, right, there's different mechanics in the rituals, but it's essentially the same sort of league mechanic, right? With Expedition, yeah. I'd say it's a downgrade, giga downgrade, right?
I mean, a lot of them are down. Like, Expedition was horrible.
Right. So it's like, and then Breach, like, I guess it's like an upgrade, because I like the way that they incorporated a brand new pinnacle and everything, right? With Delirium, it's worse as well, because there's those blocks that appear in maps and they push your character. I'm like,
you don't like knockback? You don't like knockback every 5 feet?
Come on. So I know I'm complaining, but I'm a little scared. Like, I say I want bestiary, but what if it's, what if they like add bestiary, but it's only yellow beast Dumbo?
Oh god. No, dude. That means, just kidding. You know, here's the benefit, right? Like, if they do if they explore some, you know, greenfield league mechanic, there's no compare, like nobody's going to say, "Well, this was great in PoE 1, but god awful in PoE 2." Like, they just sort of get to they get to level set everything.
Well, that's my great debate is I don't think they should really focus a lot on the end game. I think that they should try to get the axe in there, get all the classes in there, all the skills, test the heck out of that, make sure it's perfect, and then launch 1.0 and start doing new leagues. I think new mechanics, new stuff. I thought that was the goal of early access, but I get the inkling that this first patch is just going to be like end game iteration and focus, which is a little puzzling to me because the whole point of the new game and everything was to get this new type of PoE experience out there with this new campaign. And I wonder if now it's going to be pushed and pushed and pushed, and we're just not going to get that for many months. There's no way the early access is lasting 6 to 12 months at this point. We're going to be 4 months in when the first content patch drops.
No. Well, when they first said that, I think there was a lot of eye rolling. I mean, no offense, you know, but there's no way they were going to do it because they had only, you know, they were missing a ton of ascendancies and weapon types. Even. Yeah. I mean, how do you?
Okay. Unless Dumbo, dude. All right. That's the copium part of the pod. Swords, axes, duelist, marauder, all dropped in this patch alongside the druid and the huntress. If you look at the teasers, they're hinting toward the duelist with the deepest tower unique item. If you look at the ascendancy art of the new ascendancy that was teased 2 days ago, axes and swords are front and center. Man, I mean, is 0.2 a lot bigger than we're expecting? What are your thoughts?
You know, I think what's going to end up happening is a lot of the other classes are going to take some of these new weapon types and do weird things with them. That's exciting to me. I think it's going to be, I don't know if, so, okay. So the question you asked was, is it going to be bigger than we were expecting?
Yeah.
And to that specific question, I'm going to say no, because I think everybody has been waiting 4 months and the expectations are very high, right? Like if you're like, whoa, 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 here's a new PoE one league to get you guys off our back for a little while so that we can go, you know, bake this a bit in the kitchen, then, you know, I think they would really have to hit a massive home run in order for it to be bigger than the majority of people are expecting.
Oh, and that's my gosh. Take, get your depressium out of here, Dumbo. What the heck, man? What is this? But
the thing is, it could still be successful, right? It could still be great as long as we have, you know, enough new toys and new ways to tinker with it.
Bang on. Which new toy excites you most, Dumbo? We're looking at the complete future of Path of Exile 2, not just 0.2. Which new toy are you looking forward to?
Well, I know traps are a thing, so I'm going to say traps.
All right. Traps are a big thing.
Traps was in the PoE DB dump, so I was sad when I learned that they were not going to be part of the first release, but yeah, traps. Give me traps.
Bunch of traps too, dude. There's a lot of different types, and they're weapons too, which is interesting. Yeah,
you can craft them.
Yeah. That's gonna be a whole bunch of affixes, you know, that we haven't probably seen in Path of Exile 1. It'll be a whole new playing field. It'll be really cool.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be things like, I bet it'll be specific things like, you know, AoE or, you know, trap throwing speed.
Number of traps thrown, stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, if it's anything like, you know, the belts with your charm slots, then just never see a, multiple traps trap.
Have you found any 3-slot charm belts?
No, zero. I found zero. I've played hundreds of hours. I've played a lot.
Me too. I'm right at 300. I've found 1 2-slot. 0 3-slot. I'm not kidding you. 0 1-slot. I'm not kidding. And I pick up lots of belts, lots of rare belts. I don't pick up white belts, just the rare belts. Oh, I couldn't believe it. That's something too. I'm curious if they'll, I think that's another one that was a recent development. And I think that could use a good chunk more cooking and iteration. I know they did some short-term fixes like adding visual effects when they actually activate and the like, but I think a few more things could be done there, if not revamping the system entirely a bit further.
Yeah. Conceptually, I thought it was really great. You know, they, dropping some of the flask. I mean, you could see in the reveals and the playtests and stuff, like flasks were there, right? Like it was only a few months before that they decided to do this charm thing.
Yep.
And I think it, I kind of like it conceptually. The execution of it, I didn't like that much. But, you know, being able to solve for freeze without having to have a specific role on your flask, I think is excellent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Freeze, stun. I don't think I've actually been frozen, because that's the only charm I have. Screw everything else. I don't think I've been frozen in PoE 2 basically my entire time, which is really nice, you know?
There you go.
I'm a monk in endgame. It's feeling really chill.
I've definitely been frozen. Though.
You've been frozen?
Yeah, I did a bunch of mechanical tests on Zesht, and one of the summons does like a billion icicle projectiles at you.
Yeah, little so projectiles flying out. Yeah.
So once your charm is out, like that, you know, that's sort of, you're gonna get frozen if you get hit.
Okay, one last thing that I want to chat about: bosses in Path of Exile 2. You said in Path of Exile 1, your specialty and favorite thing to do was bossing. In Path of Exile 2, do you have bosses that you are most excited to fight against? Were there any special moments that you had with endgame bosses, campaign boss fights? And the most important question of all, did you ethically fight Arbiter for the first time, or did you kill him in 3 seconds?
I did ethically fight Arbiter. I'll work backwards. I did ethically fight Arbiter the first two tiers.
Okay.
Because I was playing gas grenades, right? And like, there's not a instant delete button without Temporalis. With gas grenades anyway. I mean, if you have Temporalis, you can do crazy things with grenades, by the way.
Yeah.
I think I was shooting like 50 grenades a second. Oh, like I hit the actual cap for grenades that you could send. But yes, I did them ethically. And then after I did a bunch of experimentation and learned how to effectively scale damage, then I didn't have to fight them ethically anymore.
Of course. You're smarter than I am.
Well, I mean, I don't trust anybody. I think it's not that I'm smart about anything. I just don't, when somebody says something, I'm just like, I don't know. Like, I'm going to go validate that for myself. Yeah. And what that ends up turning into is, oh, I have this, you know, page full of things that I've learned because I went and, took apart this support and tried to figure out how I could scale it in a, you know, an efficient way. And then, you know, I take like four of those things, like, oh, well, this looks like a pretty good build. You know, I just put it all together and then,
magic.
Yeah, I end up, well, I mean, not magic, just
engineering,
just things that sure. Engineering. Engineering adjacent, maybe. I don't know if I would call it engineering, but, yeah. What was the question before? Oh, you asked which boss that I enjoyed. Yeah, honestly, I thought Zesht was a really excellent boss. Like the design, I enjoyed that boss fight. It was one of those, like the first time I walked in, it was kind of an, oh shit, now what? And then, but you could, there was room to learn the mechanics. And you could kind of progress with it. And I liked the mechanics. I thought they were really well done. And making, you know, the falling arms part of the later phase, I thought was really, yeah, I don't know, there's interesting spice to it that I thought
there
was
is
good.
Yeah, and everything was pretty obvious too, like the one shots were obvious, like the clap, it's like, oh, that's probably gonna one shot me, right?
Yeah,
or the what is it, the lightning explosion too. I don't know if that one shots. I never ever have given it the chance to. I always just get the hell out of there.
You know, you're talking about the circle of expanding
that expands.
Lightning. It doesn't. It actually does very little damage. It mostly shocks you. That's kind of the main thing.
Really?
It does very little damage. Yeah. The dangerous attacks from Zesht are really the hand slam.
Yeah.
And you don't need a ton of EHP to tank it. Like you need something like maybe 5-6k, like combined EHP, to just tank it. Like my characters towards the end, I could just stand in it. It was fine.
Dang, man, I might be able to stand in that stuff. I would just dodge out of the way, but I'm pretty tanky. I didn't go for damage. I figured out how to scale defenses pretty well on my monk. The damage thing is something I know what I must do, but I do not have the currency to do it with with stat stacking and everything. I know how to scale that damage. Yeah. So
yeah, 15,000 energy shield and you're good to go.
Crazy, crazy levels stuff. Well, man, this has been a phenomenal chat. Thank you so much for hopping on the pod. Was there anything else Path of Exile 2 or Path of Exile you wanted to chat about? before we hop on off?
No, I appreciate the invite. Yeah, it was a good chat. I'm looking forward to doing something like that again. Yeah. Maybe we can get the other Mobalytics crew in here too.
Heck yeah, dude. That'd be absolutely... Maybe after Point 2 launches, we can get an analysis pod going. Hopefully we can have some different perspectives. I didn't even ask, what are you going to play when Point 2 launches? Let's assume the Druid, Huntress, and then the base set remain in the game. Do you know what you're going to try out?
If the options are Druid, Huntress, and the existing Ascendancies, yeah. I'm probably going to try Huntress. Although, honestly, I don't want to lock myself into anything with as little information we had, but that'd be where I'm at right now.
Okay. All right. Well, man, if I don't talk to you before then, have a stellar time on the Huntress, and let's hope Dawn of the Hunt is an exciting Path of Exile 2 patch.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be good.
All right. Talk to you later, Dumbo.
Take care.